Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. St. Paul today in 1 Corinthians continues to proclaim the resurrection of the dead. I'll read a few of the verses again. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? What you sow doesn't come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel. This is our text. Last week, St. Paul started to teach us about the resurrection of the dead. It began like this: Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. It all begins with the resurrection of Jesus himself. Easter isn't a fact to be denied, but it is the reality on which rests our sure and certain hope. And Jesus, St. Paul made clear, is only the first fruits, as St. Paul says, of many, many more to come. Still, talking about the resurrection may raise as many questions as it does answers. And I'll be honest, I had some of those questions this week. People wondering about various things. Well, what about this and what about that? In this chapter, St. Paul focuses on the body. One of the questions we often have is, what about the soul? Here, St. Paul doesn't take up that question, but he does speak of it in other places. For instance, in the book of Philippians, he mentions his desire to depart and be with Christ. He means that when he dies, his soul will be with his Lord. So at the death of a believer, the soul is taken to be with Christ. Now, there are two other questions that St. Paul addresses here. They are these: how should we view death? And with what kind of body will the dead be raised? He teaches that death, the last enemy, will be fully destroyed when Christ raises our bodies in their new creation glory. First, how should we view death rightly? St. Paul makes clear that death is not a friend and death is not an ally. It shouldn't be viewed simply as a door into another life or as the continuation of the adventure. Death, he says, in no uncertain terms, is an enemy. Let us not forget this. Let us not pretend otherwise. And then St. Paul takes us back to death's source. By a man came death, he says. And again, in Adam, all die. Death entered the world through Adam, our first father. He ate the fruit, and the curse took effect. And all of us gathered here, every human being that has lived since, has inherited the corruption and guilt, and so also the curse of physical and spiritual death from him. We are dust, and to dust we shall return, as we'll hear again soon on Ash Wednesday. Apart from Jesus, bodily life here on earth ends in death. And the process begins long before we actually die. Physical death hangs like a shadow, like a cloud, over the whole life on earth. But of course, St. Paul doesn't want us to view death apart from Jesus, but rather to view death with Jesus. By a man, he says, has come the resurrection of the dead. And again, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. United with Christ, the final outcome isn't death, but rather life. From faith's point of view, and this is true even when we stand by a casket or in a cemetery, from faith's point of view, we look beyond death. The course of life in the body doesn't end with death, but rather it ends with life. The dead body isn't a semicolon, you might say, or it is a semicolon and not a period. It doesn't end everything, but in fact it goes on to life. And this is true because Jesus, true man and also our brother, broke the power of death when he rose from the dead. Because our Lord Jesus Christ, by his perfect life and by his perfect suffering and death, he reversed everything that Adam brought with sin and the curse. And on Easter Sunday, our Lord Jesus Christ stood in his feet as the first of a new humanity, as the beginning of a new creation. And consider what that meant. When our Lord Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, it was a statement to death that death has no power over him. And it was also a statement that the grip of death is loosening on all those who are united with Christ through faith. He rose first, and then, St. Paul says, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. The nature of the resurrection is the same for Jesus as it will be for us. We will be raised like him. But St. Paul says, in the proper order. He's first, the first to enter the fullness of life, the first to assume immortality, the first to wear an incorruptible body. And those who belong to Christ by faith will enter that same glorious state when he returns on the last great day. He must reign, we are told, until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. There's no sugarcoating it for St. Paul. Death is still bitter, even for us as Christians. It is still painful, and it is still tragic. Death is, indeed, a horrible enemy, the last and worst enemy. But St. Paul promises us that death's kingdom will be fully destroyed, and his power will be taken, and he will meet his doom when the end comes. It's hard to imagine what that will be like. Unlike Enoch and Elijah, who were taken in their bodies to heaven, we won't be. When death is destroyed, with what kind of body will the dead be raised? The second question. It still seems absurd, doesn't it, to think of the dead rising? It defies the grasp of our earth-born human minds. It's beyond anything we experience. And yes, if we admit it, sometimes it sounds like wishful thinking. How can one conceive of a new body rising out of a worm-eaten corpse or out of a body destroyed by death? To help us understand, St. Paul turns to a beautiful image, the image of planting and gardening. This is what he says. What you sow doesn't come to life unless it dies. And what you sow isn't the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. The mystery of the resurrection is contained in every sprouting seed. The hull will rot away and die, but the contents of that kernel, with the proper condition for germination, will rise into new life. And unless Christ comes first, so it will be for us. Our bodies must die before God makes them alive again. But putting a body in the ground, burying a dead loved one, is akin to planting a seed, just like a farmer, just like a gardener. And imagine this. Imagine someone who has never seen gardening before, has never seen a farm. They would think that it's absolutely absurd to do what a farmer or a gardener does, to take that seed and plant it in the ground. Won't the seed rot? Won't it die? How could anything come from that? And honestly, when I look around at the world right now, at this time of year, it's hard to believe that anything can possibly grow from the earth. It looks dead and barren. And yet we plant bulbs in the fall, and we expect them to grow. We don't expect a bulb that's planted to grow as a bulb, but rather to turn into a flower or a plant of some kind. The farmer isn't deterred by the objection that someone has never seen things sprout And we Christians aren't deterred by the fact that no one living right now has seen a resurrection. Spring will come. God, who gives to each seed its own body, is able to raise our bodies, and he is able to raise them not in the same way that we planted them, but rather to raise them splendid and glorious at the resurrection. I see in our Old Testament reading today a little image of this. No, Joseph didn't die, but his brothers thought he was dead. And when they saw him again, they couldn't recognize him because of the glory that he had as a ruler in Egypt. Ours will be a resurrection even greater than that. We will be fully at home with our bodies and with others in their bodies on that day. No, we don't know what age we will be in the resurrection. And I imagine that when I speak of the resurrection of the body, there are some among us who imagine or wish that we will be resurrected like Tom Brady's body or his wife's body. But that's not what St. Paul says. We know this, that whatever the age at which we die, whether a child who died in infancy is raised as an infant, or someone who dies at 100 years is raised 100 years old, we know this. We will all be whole and we will all be perfect, and there will be no physical handicaps and no mental problems, and thank God, no sin. God will give to each one of us the new body that he has chosen for us, and it will be the same as our body and yet different. It will be the same, just as similar as a plant is to its seed, with the same genetic material, the same code embedded in it, and yet our bodies raised on the last day will be as different as a plant is from its seed, as an oak from an acorn, or a watermelon plant from a watermelon seed. Same kind, same nature, same genetic code, and yet the body of the plant is quite different from the body of its seed. Same person, but different bodies. Now, since we haven't experienced the bodily resurrection, as I said, it can be hard to believe. But imagine how hard it was for the disciples of Jesus to understand what his resurrection meant. Yes, it had only been 3 days. But imagine the state that his body had been in when they laid him in the tomb. His body wasn't laid in the tomb, whole and intact and looking perfectly healthy, but just asleep. His body had gone through a brutal and ugly death. And 3 days later, it was raised to life. You know, the women had gone to the tomb, preparing his body to decay and decompose. They expected to find a corpse. When they saw Jesus risen from the dead, they didn't recognize him right away because they saw the flower. There was the fragrance of life and not of death where Jesus was. And he's still the same Jesus, but he's not the same. Or it's the same Jesus, but he's different. And so it will be also for us. Jesus was not planted in the ground a bulb and raised a bulb, but he was planted a bulb and raised a new grown blooming plant. He was the beginning of the new creation. So also for us, we will be the same but different. It will still be us, but not the same. Our new creation bodies will be the same but different, just as different as a plant is from the seed from which it grows. When you die, they will plant your body in the ground. And when Jesus calls forth your new creation life, your new creation body will rise and it will still be you. But it will be more alive and more complete and more full of life than anything you have ever known here. You will be as different then from what you are now as a full-grown lily will be from a bulb. This is what I imagine as I look out and see all of you gathered here. Imagine what that Jenny plant will look like, or that Jared plant, or Marilyn, or Helene, or the loved ones that we have already planted in the ground. The glory will be amazing. And St. Paul makes clear that we will all be different from one another, just as different plants go from different seeds. So also the new creation will be filled with diversity and with variety, and it will be vibrant. All flesh isn't the same flesh. It's different for men and beasts and animals and birds and fish. There is variety because our God loves variety. And he will surely be able to provide a body for each and every one of us in the resurrection, a body that is suited to each one of us. Various flesh here on earth has its own mode of life and state of being, and our resurrected bodies will be different from the flesh of our natural bodies, because it will be a different life and a different mode of being. St. Paul here uses the image of heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. He looks at the heavens and says, the sun, moon, and stars have their own bodies, and their bodies differ from one another. So it will be for us in the resurrection. Our bodies will have a greater glory than they have now, and our bodies will each have their own kind of glory, their own degree of glory, without any envy or any jealousy among us. The same God who produced all these miracles is able to produce bodies for his saints at the time of the resurrection, fully suited for that life. And it is just as marvelous and amazing as a seed growing from the ground in the spring. The same God will provide for us that provides here and now. And from God's perspective, this is no problem. Doesn't matter what has happened to the body. Doesn't matter if it was lost at sea, if it was cremated. It makes no difference to him. He who made Adam from the dust, and he who causes the seed to sprout, he who gave the heavenly bodies their glory, is able to raise us. And he is able to raise us entirely incorruptible and imperishable. We live our lives under this sure and certain promise. Not the promise that we will die and go through a door, but the promise that when we die and are buried, our souls are with Christ and our bodies will be raised to a new and greater glory. And I'll say what I know Pastor Heinz used to say as well. The most amazing place to be on the last day when Jesus returns in glory will be a cemetery. Can you imagine what that will be like? It'll be like going out to the garden in spring, where suddenly you've got all of these flowers popping up that you hadn't seen. Because on that day, our enemy, the last enemy, death, will be fully and completely destroyed. And we will be raised to the glory of a new creation. Death, St. Paul says, is a planting, but every plant has a purpose. And every plant has within it more life and more glory than you can possibly imagine when the seed is put in the ground. And so also for us. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is buried in a fallen and sinful world. It is raised in the new creation. It is planted a bulb, and it is raised a full-grown flower. To God be all the glory and praise now and forever. Amen. Amen.